Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we absolutely thank you for what we just sang. The fact that you love us dearly, even me. No matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, Lord, you love us. Father, help us to see that today through your word. Holy Spirit, make that real to us through your word today. Help us to know for certain that you love us and that you redeem us and that you call us your children. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So I want to share a story about the author Ernest Hemingway. He grew up in a Christian home, yet he did not fully experience the grace of Jesus Christ. He really had no father, no parent waiting for him in his home as he sank into the mire of a graceless depression. In a short story that he wrote, perhaps gives us a little insight into the grace and the love that he so desired from his father. It's the story of a Spanish father who decided to reconcile with his son who had run away to Madrid. The father, in a moment of remorse for perhaps how he treated his son, takes out this ad in the El Libro, a newspaper. "Paco, meet me at Hotel Montana, noon Tuesday. All is forgiven, Papa." When the father arrived at the square in hopes of meeting his son, he found 800 Pacos waiting to be reunited with their father. Was Paco such a popular name? Or is a father's forgiveness the salve of every soul? In 2017, the U.S. Census Bureau said a quarter of American children are growing up without dads. This does not include the number of kids that maybe have a dad in the home, but he is absent for whatever reason. Researchers say having a dad around has been linked to important developments in a child's physical, emotional, and behavioral health. But you don't need a study to know that because you've experienced it. If you have had a dad or if you haven't had a dad, all kids would love to say the words, "Father, Papa, Abba," which means what? Father, Dad, Daddy. The Apostle Paul says we're all God's children. The relationship is one of love and tenderness and warmth. And with God as Abba Father, we are family. We are his children, his sons, his daughters. We're home when we're with God, our Father. He's our Father. We're his children. Now, this father-son or father-son-daughter relationship doesn't come naturally. You see, the only begotten Son is Jesus Christ himself. We are adopted into the family of God. Why did we have to do this? Well, the reason is as old as Adam and Eve. One act of disobedience by Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, and they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And ever since, every person born after that is simply born into sin, born to sinful parents, and themselves, even though they're precious and they're beautiful, coming out as a child, when my wife has that precious little baby, guess what? They're broken from the beginning. You can't send them back. They're defective because of sin. no matter how precious, how beautiful. And so are you and I. The great Old Testament King David wrote a psalm after he committed adultery and plotted for murder. "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And as a result of that sin that David talks about, no one's born into God's family. We're homeless, orphans. We're separated from God. That's the way we start life. That's the way it would be for us for eternity if we didn't have a God who said, you know what? I want you to be part of my eternal family. And so I'm going to do something about it." And so everything is different for you and I because God opens his arms up and he adopts us as his children. And he does so by giving up his one and only son for you and me. Now, I have 3 kids. I'm about to have 4. Well, in June. But it seems like pretty quick. And it'll be here before you know it, right? And I'll just be honest. There is no way if God said, would you give up one of your kids for this world, that I would probably be able to say, yeah, sure. Because I've seen how we all can act. How one moment, oh yes, I'm all in, Jesus. And then the next moment, we're acting a fool. I don't want to give up my kids for that. But you know what's great? You and I were never asked to do that, were we? Because we couldn't. Because our kids, if we gave them up, they wouldn't save anybody. Only Jesus' son could do that. And he did. He saves you and I, crackpots that we are. He saves us. And he does that by the water and the word, by the Holy Spirit giving us faith and grace and forgiveness, by Jesus, the Son of Man, being lifted up on the cross and then dying and then rising, all for you and me. So how does this adoption work? We're sinful, we're homeless, but God gives Jesus to die for you and me. We have no one to call father or dad or daddy, and he gives us an eternal home to live with him forever because of Jesus, his one and only son, being lifted up on the cross. You see, our adoption is handled by Jesus. There's no agency. There's no middleman. It's Jesus himself. He calls you son and daughter and says, I want you to be part of my forever family. Adoption can have positive or negative connotations in our culture. In many situations, it's a beautiful, loving relationship. Just recently, there is a video of a young man who invited his whole class to be part of his adoption ceremony. He so desirous, so excited about this family calling him son that he wanted his whole class to come see and witness this amazing moment. And many times, adoption's like that. It's a wonderful thing. Sometimes adoption can leave a child feeling with feelings of abandonment and loss, regardless of how amazing their family that calls them son or daughter are, because there's just this hole. They so desire to know, why was I given up? Paul uses this adoption imagery often, always from within his Roman context. In that culture, being a biological child of somebody was not a guarantee of inheritance. It's much like our culture. Like, I could be my dad's son, But if he doesn't have anything to give me for inheritance, I'm not getting anything. Or if he decides, even though you're my only child, I'm going to give it to somebody else, that's the way it goes. But not in the culture back then, at least with adopted children. Because legally, when you were adopted back in Paul's culture, adoption brought with it guarantees of inheritance, guarantees of you were going to be an heir. So an example of this is Octavian, who's the nephew of Julius Caesar, was given Caesar's inheritance and his kids weren't. Why? He was adopted. And he would later go on to be one of the greatest Caesars. He was adopted and it just required him to be an heir as a result. Here's the way it works with God. You and I are adopted in his family as sons and daughters. And what that means is it's very similar to back then in Paul's day. We are automatically heirs to the kingdom of God as a result of that adoption. Doesn't matter who you are, how much you sweet talk people to get on their will. It doesn't matter of any of that, how any of those things, nothing matters other than God says you're his son and daughter, and that is what you are. I heard once of a married couple who were foster parents, and they took in two children who had been abused as babies, so much so that the children were taken away from their parents and placed with this couple. The boy especially was shaken a lot as a baby, and as a result had severe issues. The boy is now a teenager, but he'll never play baseball or color a beautiful pitcher, because when he was shaken as a baby, it left him severely brain damaged. His arms and legs are curled up, and he's confined to a wheelchair and a bed. The girl who was fostered in can't see. She's blind. She's autistic because of the damage that was done to her. She'll never call her new parents mommy and daddy. She won't come running out of the house joyfully crying, "Hey, mommy, daddy's coming." But you know what this couple did? They adopted these two beautiful children. They wanted these children to have a forever home, to have a place and a people that loved them, that cared for them. It didn't matter what their ailments were now, what their situation was now, because now they're adopted. They're in the family. They're part of the family. And how they were, who did the adoption? It was the parents. They made it happen. It's the same for us. We're orphans. We're homeless. Our sins left us helpless to anything. We were born into sin. We could never see the kingdom of God without God the Father intervening. But God loves us, and so he intervenes. He wants us as his children. He desires to have you as his son or daughter. He does what it takes to get us in the family by giving us his only son, Jesus. And he adopts us as sons and daughters. Our heavenly Father, we have the precious gift and privilege of calling him Abba, Father. Because he's done this all for you. And so how did this happen? Well, a pastor splashed water on your forehead. Pastor reached into the font with that water. Or he dunked you in a pool or river and he spoke the name above all names. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you're baptized. You're now part of God's forever family. And we're welcomed home in love. We're given the privilege of being part of that family, God's family. And it's all ours. Grace, mercy, forgiveness, love, because God adopted us. I know of another pastor from Arizona who doesn't have any of his degrees or any diplomas on his office wall. Instead, he says he has his adoption papers on his wall. Now, he has a mom and a dad that are biological. He was never adopted as a child. What hangs in his office is his baptismal certificate. Those are his adoption papers. That's the witness to what God did for him when he was brought to the baptismal font as a child. What a wonderful idea. What if you and I dug in our attic or our basement in our important papers, dusted off that baptismal certificate, if it's not already hanging up, that shows that we were washed in the waters of baptism, or as some of you say, washed in the waters of baptism. And we put it on our wall. Because there are days we need to be reminded whose we are. Because there are days that we question, God, do you really love me? I mean, after all, I've said this, I did this. There are days the devil loves to put those thoughts in your head. Does God really love me? And it wouldn't be great to just have that in your office or somewhere of prominence where you could just look up and be reminded, oh, you know what? No matter what I encounter today, no matter what people say about me or what people think about me or what anything, any difficulty, challenge, whether it's a great day, no matter what, I'm part of God's forever family because he brought me into his family through the waters of baptism when the pastor said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is what Jesus has done for you. His sacrifice was so you could be called son or daughter of Jesus, of God the Father, of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what you got for Christmas, but I can guarantee you it pales in comparison to that. Because that gift right there is a priceless gift. One that you can't find anywhere else on the earth. And one that is yours. So go in that hope and joy today. And in this new year, amen.